So I'm delighted today to be joined by executive coach Aisha Murray. And Aisha is going to talk to us about how team coaching techniques can work at home too. So I'm really looking forward to hearing what she's got to share with us. But before we start, and I know it's slightly cringy, but I'd love to know what your superpower is. How would you describe that to our listeners?
I suppose it's a very tough question, isn't it, this one? And I'm not going to say invisibility or one of those ones. Probably resilience, which is a big word, and I will talk about resilience more in our chat today. But resilience in the point that I feel generally quite empowered to change my direction or change my course if things aren't going right for me, whether that's a massive career change, as I did, or whether it's just things at home that actually things need to be done, action needs to be taken. So I think I'm resilient action taker.
Oh, I love that. And like, yeah, and a doer. And I think for your clients, that must be really empowering because it's lovely to be led by somebody that actually does take action and do it that way. So that's brilliant. Yeah. Thank you. So if I've got your sort of coaching highlights, so your tagline is that Aisha helps professional mums in marketing who want to maintain their ambition to define what they want from their careers and, more importantly, how to get it. And I think for me, that's the big bit, you know, how to get it and actually for them to come away and feel like they've got an action plan. So I know we're going to talk about team coaching, and obviously team coaching in the workplace is common, but how can we actually apply those techniques to our home lives to really create collaboration, trust and happiness? And I'm fascinated by this, Aisha, because I think it's so easy to learn things in a corporate life or have your business hat on, but actually how you can really utilize those techniques further and home or friendships or however it can be applied is really powerful, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think there's so much we do at home that can be applied to work, and there's so much we do at work that can be applied to home, because we are the same person in both of those scenarios. So I think actually it doesn't have to be compartmentalised maybe in our minds. So hopefully that will help bridge that gap a bit today.
Yeah, exactly. So that those Venn diagrams all connecting. So should we start off then with what you see are the ingredients to good team coaching?
Yeah, so I might start with just a definition around what a real team is. And that might sort of help put some context between the family team as opposed to the corporate team, although they apply to both. So John Katzenbach, I better quote him on this, defined a real team as a small group of people with complementary skills who are committed to a shared purpose, who succeed or fail together, and who hold one another accountable. Now, when I read that, I can immediately think of my family in that. So yes. I think, and it's also that was designed for corporate definition. So I think that's the sort of why these sort of two things can definitely overlap. So for me, the ingredients of team coaching, which I work with teams on, and the ingredients that are therefore very transferable into family life, and I can talk about these individually in a second, are emotional agility, which is how do we raise our own self-awareness around our own emotions and our own thoughts and our behaviours, also our awareness of others' emotions, thoughts and behaviours, the interaction, the interplay between the two, especially in a family dynamic, and also the way we respond to our emotions. So it's not suppressing them, it's not ignoring people's emotions, it's how do we identify the triggers and how do we respond best, again, as a family to these different emotions. Then resilience, which I've just said is one of my superpowers. And that resilience broadly is, I suppose, the ability to either adapt what's going on for you. If something's not quite working, how can you adapt that situation to make it work? How can you alter the path you're on, or potentially how can you change it completely? So it's that ability, and we talked about bouncing back, with it's the ability to bounce back, it's the ability to see new opportunities or different options when things aren't quite going to plan, and it's the ability to put into place coping mechanisms that you have when you're hitting tougher times. So that's resilience generally. Creative thinking, ingredient number three. And I think especially with kids, it's so important, isn't it? When we're nurturing, especially these young minds that we have, nurturing their creativity, nurturing their curiosity, which is a word I can never say very easily. Ideally, giving them, and ourselves, but giving them the space to feel safe to challenge us, boundaries permitting, the ability to will feel inspired and motivated to contribute to family discussions, ideas. What should we do about this particular challenge? So that's where creative thinking comes on. It's the whole family, but I think especially for us as parents, it's how do we're all going towards a shared goal of some description. And that can be a small, short-term goal, might be something that's happening this week. It could be a much longer-term purpose for the whole family and what that looks like. What is a 5-10 year plan for this family? But it can be much smaller and much more kind of time-bound, if you like. But as a family, we need to buy into that purpose. Everyone needs to understand why that purpose exists, what it means for each other, and believe in it. So then we can all kind of get together behind whatever it is. So those are my four high-level ingredients to team coaching, but applicable to family.
Oh, I love that. And I love the creative thinking, and actually, like you said, getting into the young minds that are constantly expanding, but also to get their buy-in. And if I look at my family, I've now got young adults, and we're moving into that next stage of not empty nesting, bird launching, but you know, it's all those phases, isn't it? Every stage. And I also like the idea of it can be a short-term purpose as well. It doesn't have to be something too far ahead.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
is interesting.
And purpose is quite, or having purpose is quite a, it's quite a hard concept sometimes to get ahead around. You know, it's like, what is purpose? I mean, it's a huge word bandied around a bit. So it doesn't have to, if it's harder to think around purpose and life purpose, then it's thinking about those smaller goals potentially and working towards them with the family.
Yeah, no, brilliant. So taking all of that, what's your view on how you get sort of family buy-in?
First and foremost, it has to be communication. And I think, again, sometimes easier said than done when we are all caught up in work, in hectic life generally. Communication can close down quite easily, I think, within families. I'm not a parenting expert in that sense. I'm not a parenting coach, but I do have my own kids, so I kind of have an understanding, I suppose. But communication can be quite easily kind of forgotten about when things are just happening, when life is happening.
Yes.
But when we're talking about this sort of team techniques and creating this really, I suppose, dynamic, effective team, if you like, communication has to be first and foremost. There has to be clarity around communication. So does everybody understand what's being asked of them? There obviously has to be honesty. Again, it's tricky with kids because you want to be honest. And I'll come on to a real life example in a minute. You want to be honest with them, but there are some things that kids don't need to know, depending on the scenario. There is a sort of protection element, isn't there? So that is a bit.
Oh, no, really true. And I think, I was going to say it sometimes from my own experience, I need to remember that sometimes. And I think we can get sometimes slightly carried away. It's about remembering who the audience are.
Yeah, exactly. And that obviously changes from these young primary school age, which is my youngest, needs potentially a slightly different message or awareness than my 14-year-old, who is now, you know, she's a young adult and she can understand the context, the implications and the consequences of things. So it's fine for her to know more potentially than her little sister, although that might end up in some kind of squabble, I imagine. But anyway, so honesty to whatever degree is appropriate. And then I think just openness. So again, that's that hopefully creating an environment at home where everybody feels they can speak up, where everybody feels they have a voice, where everybody feels that they will be listened to. And again, it's probably easier at work sometimes because that's almost a kind of structured expectation. When I say that, again, depends on the team. But there's something about home dynamics, obviously highly personal, interpersonal relationships at play, emotional, volatile, all the kind of stuff that obviously a family brings, which work might not have the same, quite the same level, but as much as possible, openness between everybody. And I think those principles broadly help everyone to buy in to this sort of team approach because they feel they have a voice. But secondly, it's back to that shared purpose. And could you, for example, co-create that purpose or that goal as a team, as a family team, rather than it's a dictating kind of parent to child? Are there some goals actually where the kids are leading on that? Are there some goals where it's agreed together as a family what we're heading towards and maybe what we need to do to get there? Of course, there are always some things where it has to be parent-led, but trying to at least create opportunities for the kids to be involved in that goal setting, if you like, or purpose setting.
Oh, I love that. And that sort of empowering every member of the family then, isn't it? To sort of play to their strengths and make it feel fair.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Oh, love that. So have you got some, I know you have, but would you like to sort of talk through some sort of real life examples? I think that's where it comes alive, isn't it? If we can sort of be more imaginative then.
Yeah, so I mean, a very relevant or current example for us is moving house, which has turned into the moving house chain from hell and is so far 10 months and counting from the moment that we originally sold our house and offered on the one we're buying. So 10 months later, we are still waiting to exchange. I won't go into the ins and outs of that, that's a whole separate podcast.
But, I was going to say.
But the, I suppose the team, this team dynamics, the team working, the four pillars I mentioned, I'll go through again with this real life example because they're all being utilised in some way, as is the
purpose and the goal. Yeah.
So overall, the shared purpose, which we did have to take the kids on a journey to get to the kind of agreement, was the sort of rationale behind moving house. Why did we want or need to move house? All the various reasons behind that. And there was the initial pushback challenge, again, from all of us. We all had pros and cons to doing it. But we discussed that together and we all agreed that moving was the right thing for us to do that at this time. So from the beginning, we were aligned on that shared purpose after a bit of to-ing and fro-ing. The resilience is probably the second one to talk about because as anyone knows who's ever moved house, it is extremely stressful and it chucks curveballs at you every other day. So my husband and I need the resilience initially to deal with the, I suppose, the actual kind of the constant fallout on a daily basis, the administration of this, which obviously we deal with. But what's really important, and I think this is where that's, this team dynamic comes in with the kids, is they see everything that happens. Kids absorb everything. Kids are listening to conversations, even if you think they're not. Mm-hmm. And again, the slightly older they are, they want to understand what's going on. They don't want to be kept in the dark anymore. They want to contribute their views on what they think is happening and why it should happen. And maybe they've got a different solution that you have, you know, you didn't have. So trying to encourage our children to be resilient, because with our process, every other month it seemed like it was going to fall through. So every other month we had to tell the kids this might not be happening actually. And they'd have to go back to square one when it came to their kind of emotional management of, but I thought we were moving, but now we're not. And that happened multiple times over the last year or so. So we had to help them build their own resilience and they had to learn to build their own resilience in that kind of scenario. Then the emotional agility, again, within this sort of moving house example, because it's such a stressful situation, emotions run high when you're moving house. So emotions go from disappointment to anger to excitement to despair to panic. Every single emotion, it probably comes in at some point during that process. And if you can imagine, within a family, if everyone is having the same emotion at the same time, so if everyone is frustrated with the process because they just want to get things done, and that frustration is then in our whole household fourfold because you have four emotional human beings all feeling that same emotion, that emotion could be quite crippling. It could be quite crippling in the sense that communication again just sort of falls apart, quite crippling in that each individual could kind of go within themselves and kind of try and take themselves out of the situation, but maybe not in a productive way. It can make conversations very fraught. But understanding, this is where the agility comes in, understanding that everybody is feeling a certain way, understanding that actually the way that I respond to frustration is very different to my husband, is very different to my kids. But not, there's no right or wrong. And the only way to understand how people react is to talk to each other. There's a great sort of tool called the feelings wheel, which I've talked about a lot. Many coaches do, which you can download various Google examples of feelings wheel. And it's especially useful for children who can't quite pinpoint what's sitting behind their feeling, or the sort of nuanced version. So you might feel angry today. What does that mean? Is it because something annoyed you? Do you feel vulnerable? Is that why you're angry? Is it kind of defense mechanism anger? Is it because someone's done something to you anger? So there's different kind of nuances of that. And the feelings wheel helps you to break down the bigger feeling into small and hopefully slightly more tangible feelings that you can actually deal with and put some plans behind. So that's quite a useful tool, right, just to get the kids kind of understanding where their emotions come from. But primarily it's helping each other understand where these emotions are coming from and how we can all help each other deal with them. And then the creative thinking, and again, partly when we talked earlier about giving children their own purpose, so creative thinking is either giving everyone the opportunity to say, I think we could do this about this particular problem. So ask the kids. Kids actually have got great ideas, you know, that we as cynical old, yes, weathered adults may not have. They have a very fresh perspective on things quite often, kids, because they're slightly less, you know, yeah, they're just less cynical. They're less sort of weathered by life, really. So just asking them, what would you do in a situation? And more times than not, they'll probably come up with something actually very useful that you could put in place. The basement, and the kids can decorate it. They can use it for their whatever cinema room. They can do whatever, but it's up to them to plan it, to write a list of what they need, to paint it, to whatever it might be. And that means they've then got part of that shared purpose of moving house. They've got their own sub purpose, if you like. So they've
absolutely. Oh, I love that idea. Yeah, lovely.
So we'll deal with the kind of boring admin, the actual kind of getting us moved. And they've got their purpose. When they get there, they've got something, A, which will help them hopefully transition into a new home anyway, which is difficult.
Yeah.
But it gives them something to feel they're part of this journey too. They're part of the team. They're not just being told we're moving here and that's it. So I think that's, I mean, moving house, I think, again, covers all the different sort of facets of team and of family dynamics. But I think if you can just look at your challenge as a family and break it down into those four pillars, emotional agility, resilience, creative thinking and purpose, and say to yourself, are we dealing with each of these areas? Do we need to have more open conversations with each other to get things moving in the right direction?
Oh, wonderful. And I would imagine, Aisha, in terms of how you do these touch points and sort of touching, you know, communication, is it everyone sits around the table together, or is it having more of an open mind as to perhaps in the car talking? So I know there are different ways, aren't there, of communicating. What would you recommend?
I would recommend do whatever feels right to you, because there are so many different ways. Yeah. I've got friends and clients who like the everyone together on a Sunday afternoon for an hour, and let's sort of thrash things out, and I suppose in a more kind of corporate setting around the kitchen table kind of thing. That doesn't work for me. I'm not
formal.
Yeah, I'd far rather actually take people off individually, which again, it depends on your own family. It's easier for me to talk to my eldest daughter separately, in quite often in the car. That is definitely a good place, yes, for conversation. And give her that space, just me and her, for her to air whatever it is she needs to. But I think it's, for me, it's useful to get everyone's opinions separately or thoughts separately and then bring everyone together. For some people, they'd rather do it as a group. So I think it's very much understanding how your family best works.
Yes, and that's vital, isn't it? And like you also say, with ages of children, things evolve over time, doesn't it? So not necessarily this is how it always has to be, but it's sort of being respectful and, yeah, reactive to your current situation.
Yeah, and I think also, again, yes, we're part of a team. We are a small group of people with complementary skills, absolutely. We all have a unique part to play in this family team. We all have different skills, different ways of approaching things, different triggers. We all do. You know, we're all individual people. And also, the most important thing is we all have our own thing going on outside of that family dynamic too. And I think often that's not forgotten, but not appreciated. Eldest daughter going into year 10, GCSE starting, she's got a whole world of her own going on at school, which I actually don't know what's going on when she goes off to school anymore. So she's got a whole world at school which she's dealing with independently and has her own emotions to deal with and team dynamics, you know, with friends and teachers. My youngest daughter has her own friendship issues and school challenges, of course, when she's going off and doing her thing. My husband has his work, his wider family. I have my work, my wider family. We all have separate lives, in that sense, going on. It's not just everything that we have happens to be together. So I think it's appreciating we have our own shared purpose and our shared team needs. But then everybody has something else going on for them separately to that, which needs to be appreciated and, I suppose, again, empathised with.
Yeah, Oh no, I love that. And it's it, and that just ebbs and flows, doesn't it, throughout the month.
Yeah.
So, oh, thank you. I think that example you've given me, however, obviously horrendous it is for you guys at the moment, it just did cover everything, didn't it, from actually real life example, and you can tailor those. And I suppose what we also want to say is you can have lots of multiple things like this happening within a family unit, can't you? And learning how things work, and if one way doesn't work one time, it might be more applicable to another scenario.
Yeah,
So,
exactly. And
thank you.
you may not need all those pillars for every example. Some scenario might require tons of creative thinking, but less resilience potentially. So there's you can kind of dial these things up and down as well, depending on exactly the situation that you're in.
No, brilliant. And I love the feelings wheel tool. I think that's really, I'm definitely going to have a deeper dive into that. So thank
You're
you.
welcome.
So, Aisha, that's wonderful. Is there anything else you wanted to share? Obviously, you've got your Instagram, you've got your lovely juicy website with lots of information on there. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
I think just a maybe just a last reflection to go back to your superpower question around just getting things done and action
Yes.
taking. And I think really that's where coaching can be so valuable, because it's very hard actually, and I'm not very good at it by myself either. It's very hard to take action on your own quite often. The
Yes.
intention's always there.
Yeah.
Intention's always there. Actually having someone alongside you to help you take the action and to give again give that action some purpose, make it feel like real purposeful action, is a really useful thing to do. So not just coaching, I mean coaching obviously is great, I'm going to say that, but having somebody in your corner who can help you move along that journey.
Yes, I love that. And I've certainly had people in my corner over the last sort of 14 years, and doesn't always have to be the same one, and there are so many ways of doing it, aren't there? But it's vital to feel a connection. So,
Absolutely.
well, I've loved our conversation,
Me
Aisha.
too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca.
You're so inspiring and so real. And I think that's what's really important to me, that you are who you say you are. So
No,
thank
you're
you.
welcome. Thank you so much.
I loved our session with Aisha. She really helped us look at how we can take the techniques that we learn in a work environment and apply those to our family life or our friendships. She shared the importance of having a shared purpose, showing resilience, a mental and emotional agility, and creative thinking, and also touched upon the wonderful feelings wheel tool, which I'm definitely going to have a look at. So what I loved with Aisha was her ability to bring this alive with a real life example. So I'm sure you will really get value from this session.